On this day in 1959, Hobie Brenner was born.
Little Hobie Brenner, the mustached assassin.
Dude, Hobie Brenner couldn't run to save his life, but he caught everything thrown around him. And then
he was a big dude.
And I was going to say, then he fell forward for another 4 yards because he was so fucking tall. You know, he caught the ball and fell forward for 4 yards.
Accumulate stats back in the not pass happy NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that was under Jim Moore and
even before that, right?
Yeah.
No.
When was he drafted?
He was drafted in 1981.
Moore was always his coach.
No, yeah, then Moore, if he was in 81, then he had Bum Phillips and Wade Phillips, and then Jim Moore.
Yeah, he played from 81 to 93. It's a long time.
Yeah, 12-year career. Did he play anywhere else after here or just here?
Probably not.
I doubt it, man. I mean, that's 12-year NFL career.
12 years is a long time.
And that's back when they weren't worried about concussions or hit to the head or, you know.
Here's some smelling salt. Go back in. You're fine.
All right. Rub some dirt on it.
What is Hobie up to these days? You never hear anything about him. Is anybody somebody still alive?
I mean, we would have heard if he died.
Yeah, I
think so.
Let's see.
If it was only this thing that we could use, though.
Right. Oh, here we go. Where are they now? And as of 2014, Hobie Brenner. Old Nintendo gamers might remember Brenner's skill set in one of the most popular video games of all time. That's right. He was a stud in Tecmo Super Bowl. Forget the average rating. Anyone that played with the Saints locked up with Brenner for a countless number of victories. In the world of TSB. That's stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I just want to find out if he's alive and where is he.
Okay, after he retired, he moved to Southern California. That's where he's from. Today, he runs a family business with his wife, Alexis. They have two kids, Chase and Steel. Chase Brenner and Steel Brenner.
Steel Brenner.
Chase Brenner. Everyone catches him. Lastly, it's worth noting that the man rocked a stellar mustache for the majority of his career.
It says that?
Yeah. Is there anyone in the NFL today that could beat Brenner in a sanctioned mustache contest? Nope.
Thank you.
I mean, pretty much all they say is he's running the family business. They don't say what the family business is.
That's all right. Good for him. Wow. We had a Hobie Brenner segment.
As the opening.
How about that?
Cold open. That's the Hobie open. The cold Hobie. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now is a 1. Drinking another glass of wine. I guess I've continued National Wine Day, or I just had some left over.
It's more like National Wine Week.
National Wine Month.
Month, a year.
Yeah. All right, well, with each passing week, we're closer and closer to real football.
We are under 100 days till the season.
To the first regular season or preseason?
Yes, first regular season.
OTAs have started, which means we have some somewhat meaningful topics to discuss in this week's show. And this week's episode of Game of Thrones was on par with the rest of the season, so get ready for more of that at the end of the show. In fact, I think with Game of Thrones specifically, it's worth noting that now that they're past the books, the show is better. At least that's my opinion. I don't know if you'll...
We'll
see.
Save it for that.
Yeah, save it for the Game of Thrones time.
I will.
Obviously not, because you're talking about it.
I just wanted to say that.
Well, no one wanted to hear that.
I'll forget. All right. Let's not waste any more time on Game of Thrones and get started with Saints stuff. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with the 2.5. Had a couple of glasses of wine at dinner. Got one drink for the show, and I'm... off and running. I'm getting a nice base for all these shows. They call it the off season. I'm finding the off season groove right about now.
There you go. Well, it's OTAs. You're getting ready for the season.
Sure. I'm not podcasting in pads right now. Okay, it's easy.
There you go. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. 0.
As is tradition. Damon is podcasting with pads. So let's get started with OTA recap.
What?
Nah, let's call it headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
All right, so the first headline, we're not going to get into OTAs yet. Let's talk about the Rob Ryan-Sean Payton feud in the media, where Rob Ryan came in and said that he was hindered in his last 2 years by Sean Payton not allowing him to be himself, not allowing him to run his defense. Sean Payton responds, pretty much, that's bullshit.
He said silly.
Translation, bullshit. What do you guys think?
Wow, infotainment.
I think, what was it, today that Akeem Hicks came and added himself to the conversation, taking Rob Ryan's side, which is not surprising since we cut him.
He's trying to find a way to find an excuse for why he sucked.
Right.
Mm. I'll let Jason take this first in a while.
So here's the thing. So did Payton want to change up the defense a little bit? Probably. But the players just look confused all the time. So many times. Couldn't get the right substitutions. Couldn't get the right guys on the field. How many times did you see after a play two players pointing at each other and yelling and they're moving at the last second? They didn't know where they were supposed to be. So that falls on the defensive coordinator.
And the assistants.
Everybody. It was a team effort to be as bad as we were last year. Everybody contributed. So, look, I'm sure he wants to distance himself, but the way I look at it, look, we're done with him. Let's move on. I'm ready to move on. What happened? Yeah, we sucked. Let's get over it. I don't care about Rob Ryan anymore. He was fun for the first year, and then we had 2 years of bad defense. It was an interesting 3 years. Let's just go. Fuck what each of them say, but look, how many good defenses does Rob Ryan even have? Maybe two?
Well, that's the thing. Rob Ryan has never had a great defense in the league. They had this fucking great thing, and they showed
with his first year with the Saints.
Well, he was a top, but I wouldn't call that. You think it was a great defense?
We were the fourth best defense in the NFL.
We were a really good fucking defense.
We were a good defense, and he's had several years. He's been a coordinator for 15 years, and he's had only a couple of years where he had a top 10 defense. For the most part. They were in the late 20s and maybe the teens. I mean, he's not Bill Belichick coming in here. I mean, so
he's not Wade Phillips.
Right, he's not Wade Phillips.
His excuse when he left, got fired from Dallas, the same thing, like he was hindered.
Okay. This whole rigmarole started because the Ryan brothers did a interview with Monday Morning Quarterback, okay?
Yes, with Peter King.
Right.
He didn't do the interview. Fuck him anyway.
Well, like, that's why. Right. I don't know. I don't even know what Monday Morning Quarterback is nowadays. It used to be a segment of Sports Illustrated. Now I think it has its own thing. It's
Peter
its own
King
thing
kind
now.
Of,
right.
Now it's like basically it's Peter King's site. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, it wasn't him. But if you listen to the two speak, they're sitting there blowing each other and talking about what great defensive geniuses they are, and how great they are, this and that. And Rob Ryan's boast, his numbers don't back him up. It's just that simple. Now, after saying that, some of the things that I've read do sound, if not how you should run an organization if you're Sean Payton. Hmm. If in my opinion, if you're going to bring a defensive guy in, then let him do his thing. That's just the way I look at it.
Specifically talking about when they brought in Jairus Byrd, and he said I was forced to play three deep.
Right.
In order to.
Right. Okay. I mean, if you're going to bring, if you bring in a pastry chef and ask him to cook Italian food, I mean, what the fuck you doing, man? I mean,
but he's a great defensive coordinator. He should be able to do it.
Well, if that's what he sold them, then they were sold a bag of goods because he's not.
Here's the other thing. I mean, that's his excuse everywhere he goes when he fails. But hello, you're the head coach. The head coach does create at a high level the vision, the framework, as well as the GM with what players you have. And yeah, the head coach should give the defensive coordinator some direction. I don't think Sean Payton micromanaged him, but I do agree. I think Sean Payton probably said, "I need you to run some sort of a philosophy."
The problem with that is that Payton has had such a huge deal of success with defenses here.
Well, that's right.
Right, Sean Payton really should shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he should shut the fuck up. Pierre, he let Greg Williams do his shit. We won a Super Bowl. Now, granted, all the whatever bounty bullshit.
Well,
but we won a fucking Super Bowl when he said, "Greg, do that," and we did that. And in the first year, Rob Ryan, do that. We were a fourth ranked defense. You know what, Sean? Shut up.
Well, yes, Jason, you are correct. You know, and I do believe that if he meddled that much. And not that he doesn't have the right to, he's the head coach. He can do whatever the fuck he wants to.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely got scarred after the bounty bullshit.
Right, right. He got scarred after, because right, Greg Williams deal was, I come in, it's my fucking defense. I run it like I want to. And you have, you know, and
you worry about the offense.
Right. And look, that worked. Our two most successful years were 2009 and 2011.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have had any kind of defensive problems probably if Bountygate didn't happen. And what's his name would still be here, Greg Williams.
I don't know. Not the way he lost the San Francisco game. No, he wouldn't still be here.
Yeah, but I think what happened more so with Greg Williams and with this guy, well, at least what we read, and that's all we can do. None of us are in the building. Personality conflicts. You know, I mean, we've all read that. Sean Payton and Greg Williams at the end, you know, weren't speaking and didn't like each one another.
Well, yeah, because they had Bountygate looming.
Well, no, that was, again, Bountygate. Bountygate.
By the time we found out about Bountygate, they had been dealing with it. Come on,
no,
they didn't find out the same
probably,
time.
But that's not probably.
No,
that's
but
not
no, that's not. God damn it, Jeff! You're just fucking. You're correct, Jeff. The league had asked the Saints about it, and they had lied, but they did not know it was going to turn into what the fuck it turned into, okay?
Right, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, but that did not cause a big rift between the two, because Sean Payton knew what they were doing, despite whatever the fuck he says. Joe Vitt definitely let him know what they were doing, and again, Bountygate is total bullshit. No one was targeted. So back to my point. Greg Williams and Sean Payton had personality conflicts, and we've read stories about that after the fucking Greg Williams was gone, and it seemed the same way with Sean Payton and Rob Ryan. Is Payton difficult to get along with?
Not with all the other, maybe only with defensive coordinators.
Maybe with the people who don't say how wonderful he is and that his shit don't stink.
Ooh.
People who just say, Sean, you can't do anything wrong. You're fucking great.
That's how Bill Johnson sticks around.
And Joe Vitt.
Right. You know, maybe anybody who has their own opinion in the I don't know. Look, that's kind of extreme there, guys. I like Sean Payton a lot.
Okay, but right. I mean, look, we all like Sean Payton. Let's say that was the case, and that really is the issue. Is there ever a way that Payton would actually be able to see that and try to change?
Well, I'm hoping, based on his love letter to New Orleans press conference, where he said that he sat down in the room with Mickey Loomis and they talked about what needs to change, with themselves included. I'm hoping this is one of the things that they identified.
The only issue with that is it's so hard to self-analyze, especially in a building where the owner hardly knows what the fuck's going on half the time. They have so much inside of that building. Like, I know Benson is still competent, but Loomis and Payton have a ton of power and control inside that building. So it's I'm just saying, like, it's hard. Yeah, you can look back and say this is what we need to change, but it's.
But all right.
Can they effectively do that? There's nobody else checking either one of those two.
So you say it's hard for someone to sit down and say, "Let myself evaluate myself." But you are correct, Jason. Peyton and Loomis, I don't know how much they answer to Mr. Benson anymore.
Well,
I'm sure if they piss him off, trust me, they'll find out quickly. You know,
I don't think he knows any. I mean,
no, he's not. The man's not a drooling vegetable. Okay.
I don't know. I think I saw Carol wipe his mouth.
No. Good. Well, when you get older, you do drool, but you're not a vegetable. Okay? That's yes.
He can't hear well. That's all.
But that's just age. But right. Trust me. I mean, look at how he look. His family pissed him off, and he cut them off.
Yeah.
Okay. And so trust me, if you piss the old man off, he lived for that. He lived for that. You know, I can imagine. But again,
they're going to keep him frozen just to wake up.
Okay, but I'm sorry. We totally took left turn.
Yeah. All right,
my point being is that even. Jason, you're correct. Fuck Rob Ryan. The Ryans, they don't hold a fucking candle to their father, okay? Their father was a shit talker and a pain in the ass in the NFL. And anyone who wants to know, go watch on Netflix about the 85 Bears. But
he backed it up.
He brought that 85 Bears defense was monsters. Then he went to Philadelphia. And it was during that period where it was the Saints and Philadelphia were 1-2 defense for 3 or 4 years. Buddy Ryan invented the 4-6 defense. I'm sorry, his sons are not him, and they talk shit. But Rob Ryan might bring up some good points on how not to be a head coach, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, how not to run an organization as a head coach. Man, let your defensive coordinator run his defense.
So do you think that the Dennis Allen move was – is this Sean Payton taking a guy that he can direct?
Correct. I believe so.
Instead of a Greg Williams or a Rob Ryan who comes in with the bigger ego?
I believe so. Yes, sir.
Right.
He got the – you know, get the old band back together, and this is a guy that – Payton is known for God knows how long, and
yeah,
you know, he went out to Denver and was a DC for 1 year, then took over the Raiders head coaching job and wasn't successful. But again, that doesn't say what kind of coordinator you are. That I've said this on the show before. Doesn't mean that you just because you can't handle the big chair does not mean that you can't be a coordinator.
No, two of the best coordinators in NFL history have been bad head coaches. You look at Wade Phillips on the defensive side and then Norv Turner on offense.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, neither one was a good head coach at all.
It's a different job to be the head coach.
Right.
Now, what's Steve Sidwell doing these days?
Steve Sidwell, he's probably retired, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably retired. I can only imagine.
Bring him back. All right, so basically, we're saying that both sides are both guilty and over or under exaggerated.
That is correct. And look, let me read you this about Rob Ryan's defense from 2004, okay? 26th, 28th, 8th, 22nd, 19th. Those were with the Oakland Raiders. Then with the Browns in 9 and 10, he was 30th and 18th. Then with the Cowboys, he was 16th and 23rd.
Wow.
Then with the Saints, he was
anomaly year.
He was 10, 32, and then they don't give him credit for last year since he left half the year.
Which was pretty much last.
Well, I thought we were better in 13. We were.
Yeah, I thought we were.
Yeah, I thought
overall,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Right, that's overall. We were sixth in pass and 20th. And the run.
Okay.
Jabari Greer.
So we are guilty of what we said we do, talking ourselves into the guy, hyping him up, when he really never deserved our when we got him. Remember when we got him? We're like, oh, yeah, we got Rob Ryan. It's going to be awesome.
It
worked for a year. Fuck, we were good.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying he came in that first year and ran his defense. That's his point. That in 2013, he ran his defense. In 2014, we got the worst free agent in the history of the NFL, Jarius Bird.
Well, also to think guys like, I mean, Gallette was nuts, but like Akeem Hicks all of a sudden just sucked. Like, you can't blame, like, Peyton can't be blamed for that.
You know,
Akeem Hicks just sucked.
If you change what you're asking a player to do, yes, they can go from good to bad. Look at, we've said it 1,000 times. Jonathan Vilma, when he was drafted by the Jets, he was, I think, a defensive rookie of the year, Pro Bowler, and then they switched head coaches and they asked him to do something different, and he fell out of favor there. And we brought him here and put him back to what he was doing and
put a guy in the position to be successful.
Dude.
Right.
One of the greatest players.
I mean, look at Kakaha, right? I mean, Kakaha.
Idiot.
You too.
I mean, are they talking about moving him around? Which, let's use that as a segue into OTAs. I mean, I know he's a versatile player.
No, he's a pass rusher. He's a pass rusher. We should stick him at a pass rusher. In the beginning of last season, the one thing he did more than anything was rush the passer. And then we had, because of the injury, we had to move him back into coverage. And he wasn't as good, and his production dropped off. And he got a little
example,
injured.
Right?
It's a combination of a lot of things.
Right. If you ask a guy to do something that is not his thing.
His strength, right. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses.
He was a pass rusher in college. He should be a pass rusher. Just put him in and let him rush off the edge. That should be his job.
All right. So let's talk about the OTAs and the some of the kind of murmurs that are coming out of it. One thing, Andres Pete comes in a little bit leaner. Jason, you said something there earlier. Well, not on the show, but
that's all right. No, Peyton said he was going to start. They just don't know where, and he should start. He was a first round fucking pick last year. He needs to be starting this year.
Right.
They don't know whether it's guard or tackle. I'm hoping tackle because I think he needs. It's going to be his position. I would rather see him play there sooner than have to wait. And with the speed rushers on the edge, he's younger than Streif. He's got a little more mobility than Streif. I'd rather have him on the outside. And if Streif happens to beat out Kelemente or Lolito or whoever and he plays guard, so be it. I think we need Pete out on the edge at right tackle.
What?
And think about it. As a fan, like, he's a first-round pick. He needs to be out. He needs to be there.
Well, again, we've talked about this before on the show. We've said it. And Sean Payton offense with Drew Brees, is tackle still the most important position on the offensive line, or is it guard? You know, because we had our best years when we had the two best guards in the NFL. You know? We know that Drew, man, anytime we see Drew climb in that pocket, I get a fucking erection because it is a fucking 40-yard fucking pass, dead center, right, you know. Whenever he has that time to climb that fucking pocket, that's when our offense is just rolling.
Yeah.
And you can't stop us. So I've come to the conclusion that in this, our offense, the way Sean Payton calls it and runs it, and the way that even maybe it has to be for Drew because he's, you know, on the shorter side of quarterbacks, that it's better to have those guards to give him that nice, clean pocket to step up into. So if Pete would be better, you know, suited at guard.
So that you have Streif and Armstead on the ends?
On the ends, you have Pete at one guard spot and whoever at the
left. Lolito.
Kelemente, Lolito, Turner. Whoever.
You know, so,
I mean, dude, Unger,
this is all assuming that Streif is still good enough to play right tackle.
Right.
If he is Unger,
well, who's assuming that?
Right. Well, the New Orleans Advocate, apparently, because they said he's as steady as a rock as he always has been.
Right. He just stands there, someone goes around him. I believe that. I saw that a lot last.
I know Hobie Brenner, and you're no Hobie Brenner.
No. You know, I saw a lot of times last year him stand there like a rock as the defensive end went around him for the tackle or the disruption. So.
Either way, they said they're going to play the best five offensive linemen. I would hope that Pete is one of our best five offensive linemen.
And I'm sure he is. Look, come on, man. I mean, he was a rookie. You know, we're so used to, or we've gotten to this mindset, man, if you're a first-round draft pick, you have to start right away and be a Pro Bowler. Come on, guys. I mean,
look, you don't have to be a Pro Bowler, but you.
But that's a mindset people.
But a first-round pick needs to play. We can't afford to fuck up all our draft picks. That's what we've done. That's why we're in the position we're in.
But again, to expect them to come in their first year, and.
But this isn't going to be Pete. I mean, he's talking about.
Right. So, but that's what I'm saying. So.
The offensive lineman is usually not that hard to get them in and going. Like 1 year, okay, if you don't play your first year, I can understand that. But your first round draft pick and your offensive lineman,
but he did play last year. He did play.
He did. He didn't start, but he played.
He didn't start toward the end of the season?
Well, because of injuries, he kind of had to.
Well, he started. I mean, look. He performed
admirably when he did.
Right.
Well, then that's another reason to expect him to start this year.
100% I expected him to start. I don't know who – I mean you look at Collins in Dallas. You know, come on, that guy was considered the number one pick or definitely a top five pick. You know, we all know what happened to him. He dropped – no one drafted him. He went to Dallas. We all thought what a great steal they got, and I still believe they do. But it took him to week six to get into the starting lineup.
Sure.
For the same reason, because of injuries.
I think it's fair, right? I think any rookie, you want him to contribute. Your first, second round picks, you'd love him to contribute the first year. I don't think I think, Damon, the point you're making, and I agree with, is you don't need to expect them to start week one. Get them but they should be a quicker acclimation and a contributor within their first season to the point where you would like them to start in their
the second year. 100%.
Which is
and
what Pete is.
And right.
And good. That's Jeff Ireland. Now, the next piece that comes out of OTAs is Michael Thomas has impressed Drew Brees. What did he catch? Like three balls and one of them? Or how many of them were deep?
Oh, that's what she said.
Testies, one, two.
Three balls.
Three?
Damn.
What the?
And one deep.
He went three balls deep.
Anyway, look, I mean, right.
Speaking of first year rookies.
Right, look, they said he's already turning heads with his precise run. He's running routes, right, and, you know, and phenomenal hands. I mean, that's what, so.
But they always got a guy like that, right?
But you know, Brees was mentioned, like, he's learning. He's really studying the playbook, really into it at practice, at meetings, and. The guy wants to be a pro. It's a desire in him, and that's a good sign to see. Like, you can't expect the world of him the first year, but
right.
I mean, fuck, with a quarterback like Brees, he could put up some pretty good stats this first year.
Right, and what we've said, look, Brees more makes the receivers, you know, since he's been here, than even receivers make Brees. So it'd be nice to have this guy come in and be a top talent. And you have to love the way. The Saints, or why the Saints drafted him, because of the relationship between Peyton and
Urban Meyer.
You know, if you remember during the draft, Urban Meyer praised the kid and told Sean, you know, this is the guy you want to take.
And we got two Ohio State guys,
right? But because of that, so you gotta like that. You have to believe their college coach, who's had him 3 or 4 years. Man, he knows his players. So when you have a relationship like Peyton and Meyer do, you don't think Meyer's just going to piss on his leg and tell him it's raining. I mean, you know.
What would be great about the Michael Thomas, you know, if he can come in and truly make a difference? I mean, he's 6'3". He's your tall receiver threat that we kind of need.
Not just a tall, just go and get the 8-yard first down catch
right.
that we need.
Right.
That's
well,
need.
With Colston gone.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be the next Colston. Yeah,
but he is going to be the next Colston.
I would like him to be the next Colston, but I'm not going to be foolish and say that right now. I mean, the kid caught three balls.
He's going to be the first Michael Thomas.
There you go. But it's definitely what, you know, that's definitely what the Saints were thinking when they drafted him. That here's our next Marcus Colston.
Mm.
I mean, that's the role he's going to.
Right. That's going to allow Brandon Cooks to be Brandon Cooks.
Yep. Brandon Cooks has been fine.
Oh, yeah.
So
is Brandon Cooks a number one?
Sure, for us, sure he is.
Yeah, I mean,
right now he is.
Height matter. I mean,
what? Steve Smith was a number one.
No, true.
I mean, dude was 5'9".
There you go. All right. Anything else from OTAs? Came out. Let's see.
It's, I don't know. It's so hard to overreact. You can't overreact.
Thank you.
There's no pads.
Thank you.
We just the news comes out and we're dying for it because it's the off season. So we're craving anything right now.
Right,
so of
right.
course we're going to get excited about whatever news trickles out.
Right. Yeah. We're not going to, like we said, we're not saying that Michael Thomas is going to be the next Colson, but
it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
all right. So then we'll move on from OTAs then. And to Brandon Browner's comment. Man, a lot of people making comments this week trying to throw shit under the bus. Brandon Browner, basically, I don't know what the feud was that he had on Instagram with a Saints fan, but he ended up basically saying, yeah, I took my money and ran or something. What was it?
Yes, if you suck ass Saints, they paid me. Well, I'll be brief about Brandon Browner. He was an asshole. Fuck him. I'm ready to move on. I don't care about Brandon Browner.
Okay. Well, what exactly was the tweet? Because
it was Instagram, not Twitter.
Or Instagram.
Let's get it right.
Or was it Snapchat? Do we even know?
Okay. So.
Was it Honey Hole?
Who?
Honey Hole. What is that?
You know what the Honey Hole is? Oh, well.
No.
It's not the Browner Hole.
The Browner Hole sounds like it's a little on the other side of the Honey Hole.
Yeah.
Okay, in a reply to a message directed toward him on Instagram, Browner called the Saints weak and said that he took that few millions and ran with it. All of the $5 million he received in his one season in New Orleans, Browner also wrote, "Get your weight up when you address me." I don't even know what he means by that.
I mean, he someone was messing with him on whatever
it was a Saints
social
fan.
Media.
It was probably Mike, fuck the Falcons.
So it was just I don't know if he called specifically the Saints weak. I mean,
actually he did.
Yeah, he definitely called the Saints.
Called the Saints weak.
He did. I mean, not.
Well, maybe he's going to get on the Hicks and Rob Ryan bandwagon and say that Sean Payton hindered all of their ability to perform. Yeah.
Sean Payton made him get all those flags.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, and I bring it up because you know Browner. I mean, he came out and said that the injury was part of the reason why he underperformed when he said he wasn't going to use that as an excuse, and then he did. Now he's saying he took his money and ran. I'm like, dude, you're not here anymore. Go
again,
to Seattle. Live your life. You go your way, we'll go ours.
Again, I think that was more because some guy was trolling him on social media, and he just struck back. I don't necessarily know. Has to be a third. You know, he's a millennial. He's stupid.
Jeez, you just alienated half our listeners.
Well, they can't handle the truth. You know, there ain't no safe space in the world, people.
That's
you got to man up, okay? Yeah.
That's what Damon's here for, folks.
All right, keep your fucking head on straight. You know, and there ain't no safe spaces, and you know, you're allowed to be offended. You know, I'm offended every day.
All right, let's move on then.
Well, hold on. Here's the last bad thing about Browner, and fuck this dude, but he was elected captain last year. It's 2 years in a row. Our last two captains have been Brandon Browner and Junior Gallette.
Wow. Wow. Can we just go ahead and give Cam Jordan the job of captain and be done with it?
Give one captain?
Give him the fucking Laurinaitis. At least I trust that dude.
Well, we don't know him yet. Hold on.
He's probably better than all the shit we have.
What about
give the fucking captaincy
give
to
it
Laurinaitis?
Gaha. No, give it to Delvin Bro.
Well, I mean, we don't know how they handle. You know, they're a leader. If you can't just give it,
I don't know how they do that. But either way, so needless to say, the last 2 years with all these dudes have not turned out well.
Yeah. No,
but it's kind of like me in jerseys, right? I actually don't want. Who's breathing heavy into?
Where's fucking Darth Vader?
I don't know, am I breathing heavy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're coming.
Still?
Whatever you're doing something.
Action.
Right now?
Yeah.
You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
Okay, so there you go. Delvin Bro, remember him? Damian Swan. So they're being careful with him with his concussions. I really hope he doesn't get any more concussions. I really want him to work out too.
Yeah, what, he had two last year?
Three.
Three.
Yeah. I mean, one more, he's pretty much done.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, one more concussion, his career's over.
I wonder if that's a league rule.
I don't think so.
No, but.
Oh yeah, because they're not serious about it.
You know what's the sad part? He's gonna get another one. You know it's coming.
Is it the way he plays, or was it just bad luck?
Maybe he's just prone to concussions. I don't know.
I mean, he didn't look like the way he plays.
All right, let's move on to. Y'all have any more headlines?
Well, did you see the report where someone said the Saints are considering bringing back Roman Harper?
Yeah.
What's that about? It's going to be vivacious. Going to be tenacious. Going to be flirtatious. Going to be loquacious. It's going to be hellacious. It's going to be a hip-hop. Don't drop. Tip-top. Flip-flop. Don't stop. Lollipop. Robocop. Top-top. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, yeah. Oh, what up with that? What up with that?
How do you feel about that?
I say, bring him back as a veteran backup.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him to take away
snaps,
you know, a lot of playing time from the younger guys, but if pressed into service and he can be there in the meetings and practice to help these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we just got $2.25 million in cap space from the Browner June 1st.
Now, and remember, Harper's not as old as he looks. He's an early gray guy.
Right. But I mean, he was the 06 draft. You bring him along, we'd have another the 06 draft class here to go along with Streif.
Maybe he could be captain. Bring him in just to be captain.
Definitely. Look, I think Vilma was still captain the last couple of years he was here and he wasn't on the field.
Yeah. Look, you know, we say what we say about Harper, but he's a good blitzing.
I don't know. I mean, he was a starter on a team that was 15-1 last year.
That's because the rest of his defense was pretty
bad. Oh, no, John, it wasn't his. It wasn't because of him.
He's a contributor. He's not.
But he was on the field. I mean,
yeah,
he was.
He can't be the worst
defender. And he was on our Super Bowl team as well.
And again.
Yeah, but that was 7 years ago.
So I say that.
He's got experience for, like y'all said.
Veteran leadership in the locker room. He's worth $1 million.
We're not looking for him to come and get 7 interceptions and 5 sacks. You're right.
And if the price is cheap, $1 million, you figure that's about his worth at this point in his career.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want him to put players in the right position.
Right. Let him. I think, again, we saw, I believe, in 2000, you know, when we let all these guys go, the locker room turned ugly. So I would definitely be in favor of bringing Harper back.
All right, so now we're done with headlines, so we'll move into a quick look at him tweets. just because Fuck Jason tweeted us.
What? Who is this guy?
I still think it's Damon.
It's not me.
But he did tweet us. Just to set the record straight, this isn't Damon, guys. Love the show. Hashtag fuck Jason. Also to set the record straight, his Twitter handle is PHUCK Jason and then the number 6. But his hashtag was, in fact, fuck Jason. FUCK.
Wait a second. So are there 5 other... Fuck Jason out there.
Oh, maybe so.
Apparently so.
At least. Okay, so Fuck Jason, why don't you tweet us this week, and we'll read your next tweet on the show. Why did you come up with the name Fuck Jason? Is it really about Fuck Jason on the show, or was that something else?
It just happened to be a listener.
Right.
Well, is his name Fuck Jason?
That's his Twitter.
But Asians, their name is Fuck, isn't it?
Oh, sometimes. But why Jason?
Jason's an American name.
Right. So, obviously, fuck Jason. We need to know. So, why don't you tweet us and explain your name? Explain yourself, sir. Okay. So, then Neil tweeted a picture of Beavis and Butthead and said, and basically just captioned it, Damon and Doug.
Hey, butthead. Like, what is mental masturbation?
That's like when you, you know, like, think about a chick while you're, you know, getting the job done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think about that all the time. In fact, I'm thinking about it right now.
I don't want to hear about it. Actually, I'm thinking about it, too.
It was the first thing that came to my mind as they laughed and agreed with everything each other said. So, shots fired all the way from England. Damon, would you like to respond?
Well, Neil the Jackass. I mean,
I love it.
No, you're not Neil. You're cool.
No, Neil the Jackass.
I love that Neil and Damon have this feud with each other and they don't even know each other.
No, which one?
You started it, though, Damon. You've bragged on Neil for quite a few months.
You fuck with him too long, you get fucked with.
How did I rag on him?
You've always made comments about Neil.
Yeah, you've always made comments about the English.
I don't know. There's nothing like specific, but anytime we bring up Neil or English.
No, I think I was very
complimentary. You've definitely made comments about
that. I was very complimentary of Neil. Now, when he tweeted something stupid, I mean, you know, I'm not going to let him get away, you know.
So, according to you, he's never tweeted anything not stupid.
No, I have not. Every time you've mentioned Neil's name, are you saying that I've ragged on him?
You're thinking of Neil. You like Neil. You don't like Neil.
Okay, that's what it is?
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. Fuck Neil. I like Neil better.
All right. So, Neil, ball's in your court.
In your mouth.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you said he's English, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of funny over there.
Oh, my God.
Just pissed off half of our listeners, Damon.
Oh, my God.
You think half of our listeners come from the UK?
They might be.
I haven't checked the stats lately. There's one more tweet. This one from Jared Phillips, which is kind of – Jared, you kind of broke the news as far as Dome Patrol podcast is concerned. He tweeted this on May 27th. Is Rob Ryan out of his fucking mind? The defense was shit because he cannot coach, no intelligence to teach or adapt. And obviously we've exhausted the subject, but at least Jared Phillips deserves a mention on that for tweeting it last week. All right, so that's all we got for the look at him tweets. All right, so let's move on to Pelican Plunge.
The game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You gon' win!
Yeah, yeah. Pass the ball. Final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass.
Easy. Another tragedy strikes New Orleans athlete, Bryce John Jones.
So we've escalated from just injuries to death.
To death. That's how.
how bad is Ochsner?
But this is a strange snore. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's incredibly strange. It didn't happen in New Orleans. It happened in Dallas.
Right. So go ahead, Jason.
So Bryce is on Jones. He was an undrafted rookie. We brought him in. He played 14 games with us this year. We signed him. He played so well. Initially, we signed him to a 10-day contract. Then we signed him to a 2-year deal. And he played a few games, then he broke his hand and missed, I don't know, the last month of the season. But we were expecting him to come back, be competitive, produce for this team, and then the news comes out like a late Friday night or Saturday night. He was in Dallas, he went to his girlfriend's place, they got in an argument, he left. He went back to our apartment complex, but went to the wrong floor of the apartment complex, banged on the door, argued, and the owner or the... whoever was in the apartment just shot him.
What the fuck is up with new?
Shot him through the door.
Being shot.
Took him to the hospital and he died. Just like that.
I mean, that's what the fuck? Right. So he was totally at the wrong fucking apartment, and the gentleman behind the door
just shot him.
Right.
Just shot him. Now, we don't know how. Obviously, he was yelling at the door, really agitated. But.
Unless he was trying to come into the door, I don't know if the guy had any legal justification to shoot through the
door.
I'm not sure you can legally shoot through a door, you know? I mean.
I can't imagine that you can.
You know? So, again, was he trying to get inside the apartment? You know, was he kicking it? Did he. Was he inebriated?
Right, all these are option, you know, options, possibilities.
All these are questions that we don't know the answer to.
Right.
I mean, because that obviously tells you a lot more of the story and what's going on, because it's just freaking weird.
Look, you know, I don't want to be that guy and be cynical, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know where it came from. But you say he was in the wrong apartment. I mean, maybe there's something from his past that caught up with him.
Well, he did have anger issues in the past. He initially went to UNLV, and he got kicked out for getting in a fight with a teammate. Yeah. He ended up at Iowa State. I mean, it seemed like, from the little time that we got to see him, and he seemed like a nice guy who was just working hard, trying to
make it in the league. Right, maybe. But, like I said, when you're young and dumb, you make some bad, and we don't know. You know, we don't know what his life was like before the
Pelicans. But again, it shouldn't have cost this poor guy his life. I mean,
no. I'm not saying
it shouldn't have.
What I'm saying is
he, this guy might have been an asshole. This guy might have been doing the wrong thing. This shouldn't have happened. And look, I, Jeff and Jason, I think, know this. I mean, I am 1,000% behind the Second Amendment. I personally, myself, have over 47 guns, you know.
47 guns?
Oh, my God.
What do you need 47 guns for?
Casey runs out of ammo on one of them.
That's right.
47?
He doesn't know. Damon doesn't know how to reload.
Actually, he's collected them so when the zombie apocalypse hits, he'll have enough guns.
Yeah, I know where I'm going.
Right. No. I do collect guns. I mean, and I do shoot. I'm not a hunter. I've never shot or killed anything. I don't want to go hunting.
It's the hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
Ancient Civil War gun?
I don't have anything that old. I mean, but I do have guns from like World War II, and then some guns that have been discontinued that they don't no longer make, like the snake gun that Colt made, and some Smith & Wesson guns that were made during the 90s and stuff. And no longer
made. This isn't a gun issue.
No, exactly. No, it's not.
It will be made into one. It'll be added to the Will Smith gun issue.
Correct, and that's why I prefaced my statement was going to be that look, I'm all for guns, you know.
Right.
But this gentleman who was behind a door, you don't shoot through a fucking door, you know. You never shoot a gun at anything you don't know what you're shooting at. You know, I mean, there is no reason this kid might have had anger management. Kind of like he had anger management problems. But
there's no reason to fucking shoot him.
Right. I mean, not in this situation.
Period. Right. Not even through a door.
Right. Well, if he was inside, if he kicked it down and he was inside the residence and something like, okay, you know, you feared for your life. Okay. But that, from the reports I read, didn't seem what was going on. Well, he was outside.
Well, yeah. What was DeGene? Was it DeChon? DeGene? Was he threatening to shoot like a cannon through the door beforehand or something?
Right, I mean, it's just
loud.
Oh, it's a big one. When he blows that off, all the windows in the neighborhood shake. That's why we're in so much trouble.
Right, I mean, you would imagine the individual behind the door had enough time to call 911.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it'll be added because it's high profile New Orleans athlete. It'll be added to the Will Smith gun.
Right, to that narrative.
Which, by the way, not that it's news, but just since it is Will Smith and there's confirmation of what I think we all suspected, just to throw it out there, that Will Smith was, in fact, intoxicated three times the limit, which, look, I think we've all driven three times the limit at one point in our lives.
Right, and I wouldn't recommend anybody doing it.
No, we were young and stupid.
Right. But right, the fact, and again, they always put that, the legal limit. The legal limit is so freaking low.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
If you look at beer.
That's another thing. This is for you non-drinkers out there, and I know I'm not drinking on the show, but trust me, ain't none of y'all drink as much as I ever have, okay? And
yeah, don't let Damon's zeros fool you.
Right, okay, you know.
Still a dick.
Right, but to say, three times the legal limit, that... Again, that's one of those sensational things, like the legal limit.
That means Will Smith had three beers.
Some, a big boy like him, probably more. But I mean, a beer and a half will get you over the legal limit. Right. And I'm not sure how many people can, you know, unless you never drink or a small stature.
Yeah, but the point being, I think, you know, we all called it that night, you know, or the day after when we talked about it.
Right. He had been out.
There's no way that he's not drunk driving. Right. So it's more of a confirmation than anything. Yeah. And it's not to smear his name. It's just facts coming out.
Right. But, I mean, again, that obviously never should have happened. Also, but this case, I don't know if we'll ever know what truly happened.
No, because I still maintain that this had nothing to do with the bump, the hit and run. I think there's more to the story that it may be one of those, you know, there's going to be a book about it for, you know, 15 years from now. Well, in today's society, 2 years from now.
True Detective.
Yeah, it's one of those things where there's going to be about 6 or 7 different conspiracy theories about what was involved, and choose which one you want to believe.
Right. But it definitely shouldn't have happened. But well,
right. Okay.
He didn't have to get shot, but yeah, I don't know. You never know.
Neither of these situations called for a gun.
You wouldn't think so, but Will Smith was hammered. Apparently, he had a gun in his car. If he was, as much
and
as I
shot six times in the back. Dude.
Look. Believe me, as much as I don't like where this trial is going to go,
it wasn't self-defense. It was unless the guy felt like he was reaching for it.
Well, I don't know.
That's the thing. Like that very well could have happened. And if that comes out, it's like, well, like fuck. It's just like this whole situation is just
total.
You know, it's just like fuck. Come on, fuck.
Fuck Jason.
Yeah.
Fuck Jason.
Right. That's why you want a fuck Jason account.
All right, so, you know, just like Damon, you followed the Benson story, this is going to be your beat, the gun stories.
Okay. Well, he does own 47 of them. Right. He's kind of an expert.
He's the expert. All right, so let's move on to our next topic, which I think we're done with Saints and New Orleans sports, right?
I think so.
So that's all the Saints show we have for you right now. Stay tuned if you're interested and you watched the most recent episode of Game of Thrones. Because there will be spoilers. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show. Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Why you didn't do a bye-bye anything?
I don't know. I just didn't want it today.
All right, and now it's time for our Game of Thrones recap. Game of Thrones recap.
So it is funny. Renee has been on the Game of Thrones, I guess the Wikipedia, like learning about all the characters, all the houses, and she's been kind of watching it with me, but not really as into it. So she wants to get all the knowledge. So she plowed through. Like she's like, there's so many fucking families. Like, there's like 10 or 11 important families. I'm like, yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Like, just think of how many people have died since season one. It's an insane number of characters who have died.
Yep. All right. So this is the episode Blood of My Blood. It aired on Sunday,
Memorial Day weekend.
Nice. Yeah, Memorial
Day. They bucked the trend. Normally shows don't have new episodes.
HBO
on the
doesn't care about that. All right, so let's talk about Bran and his story, which his uncle Benjen comes and saves the day How awesome was that when he dropped the
get his little fire note chunks.
Ball of yeah.
Right, right.
And beat those asses.
Well, it was cool, the uncle coming in, whipping all the White Walker's ass. Because I guess they're not zombies. They're
were we supposed to recognize him when he took his...
I hope not, because I didn't.
Who was this guy?
Well, we were supposed to, but on last week's, previously on, they referenced him, and they showed him, but we haven't seen him since, like, the third episode of season one.
Right.
He went out north of the wall and never came back.
Okay.
I remembered that after they, you know, I did remember that, but right, so I hear this guy, his face is covered, so you know, oh, man, there's going to be a big reveal. Oh, there's going to be a big reveal. I can't wait. And he takes it off and goes, who the fuck is that?
Right, right. Now, why is he – so what is it about – does he have dragon glass chain of fire or something?
The interesting thing, they left him to die and
– he didn't.
He got stuck with the glass and he got saved. So there's something going on with him.
Well, he was half changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't I mean
the White Walkers? He
right.
explained that he was "quote unquote" supposed to die, but the
right he was
the people
he
who
was
created the White Walkers ended up saving him.
Right, he said he was. He explains he was stabbed by a White Walker during arranging and was left to die.
Left to transform.
Right, but was saved by the Children of the Forest by being impaled with dragon glass.
So where is he taking Bran?
No.
Or how about the fact that he knows Bran is now the Three-Eyed Raven?
Yeah. This is some good shit. And I like that we're starting to kind of get – there's certain groups kind of – they're sparsed out everywhere, but there's certain groups that can, in fact, defeat the White Walkers. So they're not as invincible.
Right. Right.
Which you have to do. I mean,
right. It seems the only people who don't know how to defeat the White Walkers are the Night's Watch.
Well, although the guy who's now Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, he was there at Hardhome, so I'm assuming he saw. Did he see John?
Yeah.
Kill that White Walker with the sword.
He's got to know. Now, whatever happened to that bag of dragon glass?
It was left.
He got left behind. He got left behind when the attack came. They tried to go back and get it. They didn't get it.
Damn! They need to go back and get it.
Well, I guess there's other dragon glass.
Okay, so that leads us to Sam and Gilly's story, where Sam stole the sword from his father's place, which was awesome.
Right. Well, Well, Sam's dad is a total dick.
And just what we need, another asshole dad in Game of Thrones.
Which I thought that was great, that whole scene. I was waiting for Sam to stand up and for Gilly at the dinner table, but he never.
But he's not going to do it. It's not him.
Right.
I know, but come on, Sam.
Well, I mean, he's going. He's getting there. He's getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, him taking the sword as he was leaving is definitely the first.
Him getting there.
Right, his defiance of his father. You know?
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Right, who said, you will never have that. And he said, oh, yeah, fuck you.
So, all right, inventory. We've got Sam with that sword. We got Jon Snow and his sword.
Brienne has a Valyrian sword.
Brienne does. We have the dragons. And now we have Benjen.
We have some dragon glass somewhere, I'm sure.
There's a pocket of dragon glass somewhere.
Well, I mean,
So you kind of predict that is the groups that are going to have to come together somehow. An alliance.
Well, sure. We kind of all assumed it's the White Walkers against everybody else, with dragons leading the way.
Yeah. How do you feel about Cersei and her story with Jaime? Or should we wait till the end?
Well, the only interesting thing about that is that now, so Jaime got sent off. He's no longer Kingsguard. So now he is going to go to Riverrun, which is where Brienne and that crew is going. So, that, you know, there's going to be a battle out there, and then with Ramsay, there's going to be a big battle in the north, and a bunch of people are going to be there. You got the wildling making eyes at Brienne, but then Jaime's going to be coming along, and they're going to run into each other. Something, there's going to be a little...
I don't think that's going to be a triangle, though, because I don't think Jaime and Brienne...
No, it's not, but something's... They're going to run into each other, and something's going to happen.
Right.
I'm not saying sexual, but something like that.
Well, that's how they might be how they recruit Jaime. to, you know, Jamie's not Jamie's a little bit more of a voice of reason than Cersei, obviously. And Jamie's going to kind of look at it, I think, and realize, shit, there's something bigger at play here.
Because, I mean, does Jamie even know that White Walkers exist?
Well, who was it that scoffed at? Oh, it was...
the dad.
The dad, yeah.
Right, the dad.
So if
right.
he goes out there and he sees a White Walker, maybe he's like, oh, holy shit.
Right, I mean, I'm pretty sure if you're not from the North, you think White Walkers are just a myth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's kind of what I've taken.
I would imagine. I think that's safe.
Right. So if you haven't seen one, you don't believe that they exist. Now, is Jamie going with an army, or is he going by himself?
He's gonna pick up Bronn on the way.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him again. One of my
we haven't seen him this season, right?
Right, no.
That's a shame. He's a good character.
Yeah. He is, but they have no reason to, you know.
The reason he's good is they don't gratuitously use him.
Mm. Well, yeah. All right, we're in King's Landing now, so I want it more so than Jamie and Cersei. Who is controlling, if anyone, you think, King Tommen?
At this point, it's a combination of Margaery by way of the scepter, which is the...
High Scepterin?
The High
Scepterin. I think it's 100% the scepter. I think Margaery is playing some kind of game here. I don't think she came in and said she was going to do
me.
The...
She told me that she's a
quest of that. I don't trust any of that.
I think she's bought in.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm with Jason. She hasn't bought in, right? She's playing the game.
Okay, okay.
In my opinion. She's
playing the game of Thrones.
Right.
Ah.
Right. She's playing the game. That's who, you know, she's a Tyrell. She wanted to be a princess. She learned, you know, her grandmother. She knows, and look, I mean, they showed it with Tommen before, that he manipulated him, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think right before they got married, he snuck into his room and gave him a little, you know. She knew how to get a young man to follow you with her womanly ways. So, I do not believe that she's bought into anything the High Scepter's saying. And I mean, you look at Cersei. I mean, okay, so he's stuck in the Red Keep. Right.
Yeah, I love her comment about the trial is going to be trial by combat, and she's like, "Don't worry, Jamie.
Right.
Don't worry, I got a Frankenstein.
Right.
I'm good.
Right.
Nobody's going to burst his head open through his eyeballs this time.
Right.
I also love the line where Margaery's dad is like, "What just happened?" And the mom's like, "We just lost."
Right. Right. Okay, but see, but explain that to me. How did they lose?
Because they were expected, they were going to overthrow and kill the scepter, and now the scepter's still
right.
alive.
And they were going to rule the kingdom through Margaery's influence over time, and now
okay.
maybe they believe Margaery's been converted. I don't know.
No, I don't think she is converted. I think there's
no. I don't.
Some kind of game.
I'm with you all now. Obviously, in the last minute, have been converted to agree with you. But I think for the story's sake, they might believe Margaery's been turned.
I don't think so.
Why would she say we just lost?
Because at the time, that's what she said. I mean, it was kind of heated
moment. Lost the moment, maybe.
Yeah, right. When she goes and talks to Margaery, Margaery ain't going to lie to her. She'll tell her what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they were definitely outmaneuvered.
Right.
You know, it was definitely outmaneuvered. The Scepter knows how to play the game, too.
Give him the battle, not the war.
Right, because he knew if he killed the princess that they were going... obviously, that army that they brought in, they were going to kill whatever...
Did you guys see that coming?
Little monks he has.
Did you see that coming where he was going to bring her out?
No.
I'm ready to kill him. The King's Landing story still has not engaged me. I'm ready to kill that dude.
This re-engaged me.
No, I care much more about everything else that's going on.
Yeah,
no,
this re-engaged me because now the power players are back in play.
The Iron Throne doesn't fucking matter. That's the problem.
The whole thing about the Iron Throne. What do you mean it doesn't
matter? Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It's not, Damon. It's not.
It's about beating the fucking White Walkers. That's what matters. Fuck the Iron Throne right
no,
now.
No, it's really about beating the White Walkers and
the Lannisters aren't
claiming the Iron Throne in the process. That's the
Tyrells aren't getting it.
That's the
Well, hold on. Let Jason speak. Let me hear what Jason.
Yeah, whoever's in the Lannisters and the Tyrells, neither of them are going to factor into the. They're going to die. They're not going to be the ones who would ever take the Iron Throne. Like, when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, when somebody
they're
is
who
winning,
have it.
It ain't going to be them. It's going to be either Dany. It's probably not going to be Stark. It's probably going to be Dany. She's probably going to be the one to take over. Because who? It's not going to be, like, Jon Snow? Eh. Like, they've set us up to where the Starks will never...
But maybe Jon Snow and Dany marry.
Maybe.
And unite the Targaryens and...
That could work. That
Starks.
Could definitely work.
But then, but that would go against the three dragon rider.
Man, that's going to take a while.
Well, then you'll have Tyrion. So Tyrion survives.
Isn't that going to take a while for us to get to the point where Jon Snow and Dany marry? I mean, you got to show the whole.
Well, look, there's.
Well,
this is season number six. How many more are they?
I see one or two seasons left.
Hold on. Well, this is something I was going to talk about after we got through with all this, but you bring it up. There were. Reports I read today on two different websites where the guy who produces the show, I think, you know, he said that he after this season, there's only in his mind, there's only 13 episodes left.
Right.
And that he wants to split them into two seasons.
Of course he does. Fuck.
And hold on, wait a second. But not keep them to the hour.
It's Tested the Dip all over again.
Not keep them to the 1 hour time limit that they've been doing. Make them more an hour and 15, hour 20 minutes, okay, those two seasons of seven.
I'll take it.
But then the head of program at HBO, when they ask him how long the show's going to run, he sees another 6 years. You know.
Or as long as people are watching.
Right, because...
But you can't, because it's going to end up... You got to tell the story that's meant to be told.
Right. No. Look, one of the seasons...
Don't turn into Days of Our Lives.
Well, one of the reasons that Breaking Bad was so great, because even though that show was still at the height of its popularity, they ended it.
Right. Seinfeld.
Okay. Seinfeld. And then I take it on the opposite of The Sopranos, one of the greatest shows ever. Love The Sopranos. They went on a year or two too long. The episode definitely suffered for it.
Right.
So I am while I would hate to see it go.
The story has to be told.
The story
the best
has
way
to be told.
But look,
so we can enjoy
when it goes, you know what we have? HBO will always come up with another great. I mean, there's a lot
or,
of great
or other channels. I mean, think about how many good shows end. That's just the way it goes, and then other good shows come along.
Sure. Right, but again, like what were you saying?
Nothing
you
know, like this genre. Like this
right.
genre
look,
is really cool.
Right. Look, you have what Jason said. You tell the story and it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ruin the story by trying to milk it for a couple of more years.
Right. Which I'm sure that's what's going to end up happening. I mean, six seasons is a run of of a great show. I mean,
you know what's going to happen? That's going to happen with The Walking Dead.
Oh, how awesome would it be if Game of Thrones did a movie finale?
No.
In the theater. I would go see that.
No. I hate that. I hate when
I probably would, but I don't want to see that happen. No, just end it. It's a TV show.
End it.
Don't stretch it out to some fucking movie.
Right.
Now I'm talking like an executive.
Of course, you would be fucking excited. Yeah, you are the fucking executive. But look, they're going to milk Walking Dead for everything it's worth before they end that shit.
Sure. Yeah. Right. That's going to be an example of the Sopranos.
It's the other way.
Right.
You have to do it.
So
like
back to the game recap. See what I did there?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm trying to think anything else. Oh, Arya and her story. I guess she's done with the faceless people.
You kind of knew she wasn't going to be.
She went and got the fish
needle out. When
come in handy.
Well, Jason, you felt like you always knew he wasn't going to be a faceless?
I probably said it last week.
Yeah, I think Jason...
When it happened, when she had Strike 2, I'm like, she's not going to be an assassin.
Yeah, Jason said she's going to use what
she's going to use
learned.
It to become trained as an assassin, but eventually she's not going to be a faceless person. She is going to stay Arya Stark. right. gain those skills, and then she's going to leave.
He's a Stark, right.
Right, right. She's going to rejoin with the crew.
Yeah.
Is the needle made of Valyrian steel? I say
cool
that.
If it was, but yeah.
Be a lot cooler if it was.
But that other girl is going to go after her, and Arya's going to kill her.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping.
Well, right, right. Well, you saw, I thought we were going to get it at the end of the episode, but right.
I agree.
But she goes, she retrieves the needle, you know, from the rocks, and
what'll be?
Right. She goes to her room, and now where is that room at? Is that just some random room?
I don't know.
It's in the building. The
yes, the yes. A room is in a building. Yeah, very good.
It's not in the Faceless Man's building.
Yes, it is. They all.
No way. She wouldn't be stupid enough to go back there.
That's why she got the needle.
But she didn't go back to because they know that she botched her job. They know it was Strike 3. She is not going to go back to the building of the...
Didn't she blow the light out? Didn't she go into, like, total darkness? Like, she blew the light out?
She blew out a candle in a random building.
Okay, no. Because think about it. The whole training...
Hold on.
Follow me on this. The whole training when she was blind is going to come into play, where she's going to be able to fight blind in darkness against this bitch who doesn't know how to fight in darkness.
And who doesn't know she has...
And who doesn't... Exactly. And that's how she's going to kill her. Because the girl she's going to fight against is just as good, if not a better fighter than she is.
Okay, right. That's the conversation about the fight, but I was talking about you thought she went back into the black and white faceless building. I don't think she's in that building.
Yeah,
I think she's
whatever.
Somewhere.
Wherever she is, I don't care, but... I think the whole idea is that she's going to fight this girl in pitch black.
Huh,
I would love that to happen. Because why else did they make a big point to show us her learning how to fight blind?
Learning.
Sammy. Arya, shut up.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. But that is a good point, Jeff. Right. In the dark, because she was blind, she does have an advantage over the other one.
Mm-hmm. Aha. Aha.
Very interesting.
And then she'll go on her way and finish her list. So we didn't get any Tyrion, but we did get the Dragon Lady.
The best part of the episode. Yeah,
which is of course the end.
That dragon definitely looked bigger.
Yeah, right?
It did. That's what she said.
The flyover scene was just gratuitously to show us how big the dragon is, right? I mean,
Right. Let us know that
the
dragon has been growing. So are the other two dragons, are their growth stunted because they're...
I don't know.
Right, because, there are animals that will do that. Like snakes, you know, will grow to its environment.
Right.
I don't know the official word on dragon growth.
I did. I would think it would be cool if they made it that way, because that way Dany has the big dragon and Tyrion and Jon get the little dragons.
Now the whole Tyrion and Jon thing, again, that's just
it's speculation.
And I'm going to stick with it until I'm proven wrong.
Right.
Or Jason, he predicted it as well.
I think that's probably still will be the case.
I think so. Although, does Jon need a dragon? I mean,
maybe it would definitely help. I mean, yeah. When would a dragon not help?
Right. So that was cool. And her little speech, where it kind of, I think, played into our theory from last week, where that's her attack army, right? Like, we're going to go, you're going to come with me, and we're going to destroy this place, and then I'll send you back and help me rule the Seven Kingdoms, and I'll use the Unsullied to keep the peace.
Right. Well, he's going to go through the... Now, he still needs 1,000 ships.
Conveniently, she said 1,000 ships, and conveniently last week, the Greyjoy guy said, I need 1,000 ships.
Right.
Conveniently.
Right. Yeah, they're still that asshole, right? You're right, because his plan was to go and marry Dany, and... Right, so we still got
to... How long will it take him to make 1,000 ships?
Right. So he's going to come over. He's going to kill him. You know, at first he's going to abuse her. We're all going to be scared that he's going to take over. And then she will do something and kill him because that's
She'll kill him
does.
And take his ships.
Right, because that's what he does, you know.
And use her dragon and say, you will fight with me. I have a fucking dragon.
Right. The second that you think Daenerys Targaryen is at her weakest, it's when she's actually at her most dangerous. That is when he's about to kill you. One of my favorite scenes still is from when he got the Unsullied.
Yeah, she's burned the fuck. Had the dragons come up, burn the fucking slave owner.
Oh,
right. Remember, he was
so confident.
Right, he was saying, "Tell this bitch," and you know this. You know,
he didn't even know she spoke the language.
Right, and he tells them in his own language. You know, it's a dragon. It can't. They can't be controlled. You know. Uh oh. What? What do you? What do you say?
So we have four more episodes left, right? Of the season.
Four more this season. So what? Okay.
Back to my comment at the top of the show. Do you, now that you can talk about it, do you agree that it feels like this season is better because it's unchained from the books? And I think almost the showrunners are doing a better job of telling the story of the Game of Thrones than the schmuck who's writing the books.
I think more so that we're coming toward the end of the story,
mm-hmm.
and they're ramping up battle.
The pacing is faster, maybe?
The pacing is faster. That's it. But Jeff, this plays into what you said. Because fucking R.R. Martin, whatever the fuck his name
is.
Yeah,
whatever.
Motherfucker had been writing these books since 1992.
I mean, yeah.
Okay? We were all fucking teenagers. All right?
I think that's why HBO picked up. They're like, you know what, asshole? We're going to finish this.
Right, you know. but he writes so slow. And look, I think I've told you all this before. I tried to read when the series first came out 6 years ago. Oh, I loved it, loved it. So I bought the first book and read it. And it was pretty much followed the story. I knew who everybody was. There were a couple other people,
Was it Doug that said, or somebody said on the show, or did I read it somewhere else, where he writes the character from start to finish?
Yeah, kind Doug said.
A la Les Miserables. I don't know if anybody has read Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, not the play, but the book.
Ha! Fags!
Like, it's the same story told over and over through each character's perspective.
Right, okay. I mean, Game of Thrones isn't like that. It's not the same story. It's different stories, but it is told from a first-person point of view. Okay? It is told from one person's perspective. But my point being is I read the first book, and, again, I had seen the first season, so I could follow what was going on was fine. Then I started reading the second book before I saw season two. I didn't know. I couldn't follow this motherfucker. I couldn't follow who was who. I didn't know, you know, because again, there's so many characters, I don't know if it was book two. It might have actually been book three.
I can't even follow the fucking characters. Like to Renee's point, like
right,
the first five seasons of the show, I couldn't tell who was who in half, like, because half the characters looked the same.
Right.
I'm like, who's this guy? I was very confused. Like, it was only until, I think, last season that I understood who the fuck Stannis was.
Right.
Stannis Baratheon. Yeah. Oh, well, he's related to...
well, again, try to read the fucking book, because it's, you know, without first watching the season, because... And then there are people in the books who are not in the series, real series. And it's but anyway, back to your point, yes, Jeff, I think you're right, that they're not following his books. It's a quicker pace.
Right.
We're seeing this year. And it's
probably given them the end game. Like, this is where it's got to go.
Yes. He told them what's in
his mind. Here's my question then. Obviously, the show's going to finish before the books...
Yeah.
Does he at this point just stop writing the books, or
no?
Will he write the books different than the show, or does he now have to follow the show? To that end, it's kind of like, yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what I think. Yes, he has to finish them because I'm pretty sure someone's already paid them for them. You know.
All right.
So I'm pretty sure he's going to finish them. And no, I believe it's his books. He knows where he has an idea of where he wants to go and how he wants to do it. And I do not think he will be influenced by the TV program. You know, if the TV program says, look, we're going to have Danny come in with the dragons and destroy the Lannisters and you know, and this people and he be queen
he'll
and everything.
Do that.
Right. And he goes, well, look,
that's what he gave him. That's what happened.
Right. But if it's not, and that's what they want to do, I don't think he's going to say, well, I'll change my books. He goes, no, look, my plan was you know, this is real life. In real life, the good guys don't always win. The Lannisters will stay at King's Landing because they're, you
no,
know.
See, so. This is, all right, so the, all right, or that is, he gave them kind of like the outline, right, where Danny
right.
recruits the Dothraki.
Well, right.
Is that how it all happened? Obviously, the books are going to go into a lot more detail, and you'll get a lot more of the intimate conversations and the intimate thoughts of each character that you don't get in the show, that you only get through facial expressions.
Right, right.
So maybe the book is just going to basically be the same story that the show tells you, but the it's the deeper dive into.
Well, sure, always books right. are often books and all right, right. can always. But I mean, but I guess I thought what you were asking.
I don't think it's going to be a different story.
No, I don't think so either. But that means, though, I think the show is going to follow what he, you know, is going to.
Right. The outline, the big moments.
Correct. Right. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
But look, well, one thing, did we get Jason back? Where the fuck?
I didn't go anywhere. I'm just I'm letting y'all talk.
Hold on. Okay.
Just looking at the time and like, how am I going to edit this? Yeah. Welcome to my world. Last week.
Okay,
oh,
well,
that's fine.
We didn't talk.
I got time.
Hold on, we didn't talk about Walter Frey.
Oh yeah, old Mr. Filch came back.
Now who?
Oh, your Harry Potter fans know what I'm talking about.
And who is he? Because this is the perfect example of who the fuck is this guy.
He was the one who facilitated the Red Wedding.
No. Well, Frey was Walter. Right.
Right. Right.
Frey
yes,
was the one
Frey.
Who facilitated the Red Wedding, but. It was the Tully guy who got married at. It was his actual wedding.
It was his wedding, yes.
So Walter Frey, though, comes back.
Right, so I don't. Okay, so I mean. I'm.
Or Jamie's going to help Walter Frey.
That's what Jamie is sent to do, to help Walter Frey go and retake River Run.
Riverland?
Because Frey made the deal with the Lannisters at the wedding to kill.
Starks.
Right.
And.
To kill Starks.
And Blackfish.
Yeah, and Blackfish, but
now
Blackfish
got away. Oh, okay, right. Blackfish.
He got away, and then he took over River Run. Correct.
Who's Blackfish?
That is a good question. Like, I'm not exactly.
Yes, I'm not exactly.
I don't exactly quite remember.
I thought I'm the guy, so no one knows who the fuck Blackfish is.
No,
Maybe,
I mean,
hold on. Let me.
Can I get a picture of the actor who plays Black? I think Blackfish is a person, right?
Yes, it's a person. It's a state of mind, Jeff.
Anybody who's listening, tweet it. Who the fuck is Blackfish? Hashtag, who the fuck is Blackfish?
I think Blackfish was a documentary about SeaWorld that kind of fucked them up a little bit. So apparently Blackfish took over River Run, so now Jamie is sent to aid the Freys in retaking River Run because of their agreement previously. So that's why Jamie, like I said earlier, Jamie is going to end up in River Run and Brienne is going to end up in River Run, and we'll see what happens there. I guess River Run might be the big battle of this season.
Right. Now, is a... Right. Asshole with the Flay Man. He's on his way to River Run also, correct?
Blackfish is an old dude.
Ramsay Bolton?
Yeah, Bolton.
No, I think he's staying put. I think when they take over River Run, then they'll use that army to go then attack and retake Winterfell.
Okay, so they're still okay.
Yeah, Ramsay's not going to leave Winterfell.
Right. Because there's how many wildlings did he say he had?
5,000.
No. Bolton has 5,000 men, from what I thought they said.
No, I thought Bolton had like 10 or 15, or because he's got the Karstarks, the Tullys or the Umbers.
Maybe the Umber, not the Tullys.
Okay, not to tell you, but the Umbers. So he's got a couple extra houses that he's counting on. Now, when Sansa goes up there, maybe they change their mind.
Okay. Like trolls, the phrase, control the bridge crossing of the Trident River.
Yeah, that's why Starks made the decision to marry one of his daughters for safe passage.
Right.
And then he went behind his back and married his little maiden.
Yeah, so Walder Frey is 90 years old, and he's essentially created his own army from his many, many children.
Okay, you're wasting too many time on Walder Frey.
Using their marriages. I'm trying to figure out who the fuck this guy is.
Well, I'm ready to end the show. We've been talking about Game of Thrones for a while. Yeah. Should be good. This is going to be a long show.
Yeah, this is probably unnecessary. We're supposed to be recapping the show. Not...
Yeah, not doing a deep dive. That's for the off-season. The season's over.
Yeah. Four episodes. Four games left.
Well, for now. Does that mean we can't talk about it in the
season?
We
still got four games in the regular season.
Right. I mean, think about it. We're going to have
Game of Thrones might make the playoffs.
You're going to have the time in between mini camp and training camp. It's going to be a dead zone. That's where we can do our Game of Thrones.
There you go. All right. All right. All right. So I think we've covered the episode. We got a little bit into some theories or predictions, which is always fun. But in the interest of time, we're going to shut it down. Look forward to next week. Obviously, every week we'll have our Game of Thrones recap. Game recap. But second inning, that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dope Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dope Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dope Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Go fuck yourself. See what I did.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Jamie Lannister, Kingsguard donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Spirit.